Just thought that do a little section on humor after our as we come back from lunch. And different teachers have indicated that humor is really a part of the path of, and humor can be, I guess there's unskillful humor and skillful humor. Humor can be used to kind of create divisions and put people down, but there's another type of humor that I think is very healthy for us. And one thing I was looking at was, or somewhere I read that humor and humility come from the same root. Humor, humility, and humanity come from the same root, which is humus, which means earth and ground. Now, one book that that I read about a month ago or so that I recommend very highly is called The Book of Joy. It's by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who's from South Africa, and with another author, Douglas Abrams. I'll talk a little more about this book later, maybe I'll just give a few quotes from this book, because these two, as they spent a week together, and Douglas Abrams was kind of recording this meeting. And it was very joyful, and these two men were very kind of full of, they kind of could blend together humor and depth. So this is about a week that they spent together. Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. One of the most stunning aspects of the week was how much of it was spent laughing. At times, the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop seemed to be as much a comedy duo as two venerable spiritual teachers. It is their ability to joke and laugh and poke fun at the ordinary pieties that so righteously violates expectation. When a Dalai Lama and Archbishop walk into a bar, you don't expect them to be the one cracking the jokes. Having worked with many spiritual leaders, I'm tempted to see laughter and a sense of humor as a universal index of spiritual development. The Archbishop and the Dalai Lama were certainly at the top of that index. And here, just talking about this importance of a proper sense of humor and the ability to laugh at our own foibles as essential to the cultivation of joy. And just one more quote from this book. Let's see. These two seem to be always teasing each other. And this was some reference to them going, kind of going back and forth, and I think the Dalai Lama is telling the Archbishop to be quiet after they're kind of going along. One last tease before the sanctity descended, because they were going to talk about some theme at that point. Although I often felt like for these two men, holiness and lightheartedness were indivisible. So I'll just set this. What I thought we would do is watch a 7-minute clip. Some of you might have seen this. It's there's a Buddhist teacher whose name's James Barras, and it's James Barras teaches about joy and has a great book called Awakening Joy. And so the clip we're going to watch is of James Barras and his mother. And I'll just set that up for us here. So James was visiting his elderly mother and noticing, I guess he was staying with her for a while and noticing how much his Jewish mother was complaining. And so he made the suggestion to his mother. We made up a gratitude game to remind her. Each time she complained about something, I would simply say, "And," to which she would respond, "And my life is very blessed." I was elated to see that she was willing to try it out. Over the next few days, as the complaints rolled off her tongue, we had many chances to play our little game. We'd both chuckle each time she dutifully gave up her agreed-upon reply. Although it had started out as just a fun game, after a while the exercise began to have some real impact. Her mood grew brighter as our week became filled with gratitude and a genuine good time. After I got home, I called my mother a lot during the first few days to support her in keeping her gratitude practice alive. Miraculously, she kept at it, and the new habit took hold. My sister, who had been out of town, called me when she got back. "What did you do to Mom?" she asked. So we'll see if this works. If you want to move around to see this better, it's not a very big screen, but that's what we have. And if we get the lights, we'll use our great sound system here. So if we get this a little livelier, yep. You can adjust it. So this is Confessions of a Jewish Mother, How My Son Ruined My Life.
Good evening. I'm so happy to be here and meet you. My son did not quite tell the truth. Today, I am 91 and a half. Excellent. My son also did not tell another thing about our relationship. My son, and I hate to divulge this, has ruined my life. Jewish mother. I never thought that I would have to tell a secret. Jewish mothers are born with certain genes. They can't be acquired. They can only be very carefully honed. Jewish mothers are born to complain. Actually, it's called kvetching. We will always find something to complain about. It also helps with a long sigh. A few tears also help, but complain we must. It's either too sunny out or too dull out, or it's raining or we don't have enough rain. We always find something. And mostly, we send out this perfect child to the world expecting he or she to become a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer is also acceptable, but a Jew boo? We also have another quality. We worry about everything. If one of my children is late to meet me, I can write scenarios about what has happened to them that Hollywood would give millions to him. I can write about disasters that probably will occur in this universe, I don't know. But anyhow, it's just been so wonderful to keep complaining and to be worried and to be unhappy. Despite the fact that I have led the most incredible life that anybody can wish for. I've been everywhere in this world except Iceland. I was married to the love of my life. And except for the fact that I raised two rotten children, I really have nothing to complain about. Last year, James, as he told you, came to stay with me while my wonderful daughter was out of the country. Daughters are really special. And I guess James got so tired of hearing me complain about everything and nothing that we started this little mantra. And every time I complained about something, which is every third second, he said, "Mom, why don't you follow this? But I know I am truly blessed." And we started this game. By golly, it really works. I do that with every complaint, but it really helps. And I really have become Oh, this kills me. I have... I really have become a happier person. I just now have divulged a secret. He has ruined my entire life. Hey, rotten kid.
So that's Selma James, and I think Selma is quite the comedian. She has like excellent timing on the. But there is some truth, a great deal of truth in what she was saying. And I think we can laugh. But part of that is because we recognize something. So I guess there's two messages here. But one is just the kind of gladdening of the mind that can come through laughter, but also the message of, well, we could do that too. We could notice our own mind as it comes up with all kinds of different thoughts and kind of mild irritations to bigger irritations, and we could do that practice as well, because the mind tends to amplify and focus on those what's wrong, but forget about what's right. So I think that's a practice in itself. So let's just sit for 25 minutes or so. And we can just feel, you know, that there was some laughter and some good feelings. We can feel, what does that feel like in our body? What does that do to our mind? See if there's some gladdening of the mind. As we settle into our meditation and just focus on our meditation object. And we could even try that exercise that James Barra's mother was practicing. So if the mind comes up with some judgment or other, and we can acknowledge that and follow it with, and I'm truly blessed. Because that's not all of our reality. There's a lot of our reality that is just fine. So again, just kind of be aware of the sensations in the body. This balance of being calm yet alert. We can return to the breath as an object of meditation. Perhaps choose an area of the body where it's easy to feel the in-breath and the out-breath. Where you know that you're breathing in or breathing out. Some people can feel that around the nostrils. Or the rising and falling of the chest. Or the rising and falling of the belly area. So we can settle if there's any pleasant sensations associated with the breath, we can notice that. If the mind wanders off and we notice that, we notice and then bring our attention back to the object of our meditation. Just very gently bring the mind back. Being calm, yet alert. We can let go of judgments.